following program is brought to you by your friends at Podcast One.
Save big money on your entire roofing project now at Menards. Protect your home for years to come with Owens Corning Architectural Shingles. They offer long-lasting performance while providing ultimate protection with a 130 miles per hour wind rating and limited lifetime warranty. Choose from over 50 options of Owens Corning shingles in-store and on Menards.com. And check out more of our great deals going on now.
Save big money at Menards.
All right, we're back for part two of today's Corolla Classics. Let's kick it off with Rich Schneider and Jordan Brady back in 2010. Remember, Jordan is the director of that Femera commercial who called in to talk about the singing hoo-ha of the yoga girl, and we laughed along with him, but he also admitted that he's been on the show before, so let's listen to that appearance.
Adam Carolla Show 352, Rich Schneider, Jordan Brady, Teresa Strauss, or Brian Bishop. This is them in studio, June of 2010, and it was so funny hearing Adam talk about, what, were you on 5 years ago or so? And Brian's like, no, 10 years.
Yeah.
Check it out.
All right, should we bring in our guests?
Yeah, I'd like to meet them.
Yeah, let's do that. I think we're going to...
You want to play Tebow again? I mean, lose Tebow.
I know, I don't.
I almost feel like I could play it with the guys.
Oh, yeah, they're here because they made a movie, so maybe they know movies.
Yeah, they know movies.
Hi.
Rich Schneider.
Hi.
Jordan Brady.
Hey,
I'm guessing you're Jordan.
Nice to meet you.
Hi.
Good to see you.
Have a seat.
Break it in through your back door.
Have a seat. You sit...
up there?
Sit on the outside there.
Thank you.
All right, you're welcome. Let me... Rich, I'm a fan. I've watched you do stand-up quite a bit coming up and thought, Rich is one of these guys, by the way, I guess I saw him on Letterman, The Tonight Show, with Carson and Leno, although not simultaneously, I believe. They took turns hosting the show.
Right.
Rich, one of these guys where, you know what, I'm going to stop saying take this the right way or I don't want to be insulting, but as soon as you say that, then you're being insulted, right?
Yeah.
But saying it's like, Rich is one of these guys who was like a comedian and a comedian's comedian. It wasn't like, well, he did a little comedy and that was a stepping stone. He started doing Adam Sandler movies or he started doing Police
Academy.
Yeah,
he didn't go big time,
like that.
That's for sure.
No, I don't mean, I don't want to break it down.
He did comedy for comedy's sake.
Yeah, I don't want to break it down along the lines of success. It was just like, you just went, oh, that guy's a funny stand-up. I know that guy and I like it when he's on. And when Rich would be on, when I'd be flipping around, I would stop. He's one of those comedians where you stop. You know what I'm talking about?
Well,
it's like when you watch a lot of comedians, you just kind of, you blow through them. Like you go, it's just, yeah, I know this guy. Yeah, I've seen this guy before. Eh, not funny. And Rich is, I would see Rich's act before I was in comedy and then after I got into comedy, and I would stop. And I think that's kind of the best thing. It doesn't sound like a great compliment, really, but the best thing you can say about a comedian is I would stop when I was flipping channels and watch the rest of your set.
I appreciate that. I might put that with like The Godfather. If you're flipping around, you see The Godfather one, you got to stop and watch
right.
it. You got to finish the movie. Once you watch one scene, you got to finish the movie.
Right. That way, I mean, replace Godfather
I'll
with
that.
Point
I'll take
Break,
that.
And
I'll take that.
I'm there. Yeah. So you guys made yourselves a doc. I'm guessing it's following. It's Rich's return as he gets back into a stand-up comedian. He got doing stand-up comedy. Sarah Silverman's in this. Louis C.K. Another funny guy. And also, Louis C.K. is one of these guys where either he has a picture of every single comedian with a corn cob up their ass, or he's really funny because everyone's like, "Oh, Louis C.K. is great. He's awesome." Like if they act like he has their kid in the basement or something, and if you bring up Louis C.K.'s name in front of other comedians, no one goes, "Yeah, it's okay if you like that kind of thing." So he's like, "I love it. Why? Don't tell him. I tell my son it was awesome, right?" Like, what is? How's he? Has a dominion over people?
Yeah, what is
he's
it?
Funny, but so are we. What the fuck?
I'm not that taken.
You're
I'm not that taken.
Oh, he doesn't have
a I'm waiting for punchlines. I don't see a lot of punchlines.
Okay.
Wow.
I'm
taking
it. Kid's in trouble.
I'm taking
the movie's cut. He's in it. He signed a release.
All right.
Oh, yeah.
He's funny.
It's like that one line that was great in the Albert Brooks Looking for Laughter in a Muslim World.
Mm-hmm.
When a guy's talking about another comedian, he goes, stop. Don't talk. Don't talk. Comics don't like to hear about other comics. Don't talk about other comics.
Right.
You know, like when you say, like, I'm a narcissist. You're in showbiz. You can drop that. You don't have to explain to anybody you're a narcissist.
Oh, yeah. They know.
Yeah.
It's default.
Goes without saying.
Right? So it's like a comic's double that.
Right.
Rich, how long were you out of stand-up?
about 12 years.
Why did you leave?
Because I was going, I was forced to go back into the clubs. I had a second kid coming, and all my pilots died. I had five pilots that died, and I went to my agent, William Morris. I walk in there after the last one got turned down. You know how they do it. They go, oh, look, if CBS doesn't take it, doesn't matter. ABC, NBC, they're all lined up. They all want it.
Adam
right?
knows.
I know well.
Yeah, you know that. Adam. And then, of course, CBS shoots it down. And like, we don't want it. We don't want it. We don't want it. So yeah. I go in there, and he actually said to me, he goes, I don't know what to do you, man. There's really nothing left for you in L.A.
Wow.
But I got you a whole string of dates, and good luck. And I go, you drop me as a client, too? Yeah, drop me as a client, too.
Really?
And so I went, like a parting gift for William Morris. Here's a string of one-nighters across the Southwest. Here's your consolation prize. And I went. So I called up everybody I knew who had a TV show at the time, Seinfeld, Tim Allen, and Roseanne. And Roseanne called me back that night and said, be at the studio tomorrow. You're lucky. I just fired a bunch of writers.
What a shocker.
It's sweet, though.
Isn't it? Yeah, that's why it was great. I didn't have to write a spec script or anything.
Nothing. So you started writing for
For TV and stuff.
It's kind of like when a chick gets too old for porn, but she can still dance at a club because, hey, we know Christy Canyon. We know that name.
That's exactly the analogy.
She's a little long in the tooth, but we'll have her.
Sure.
No longer contract player. Physically got to go out to Des Moines and shake your ass. But you know what?
That's right.
And it's one of these things where, you know, it's not good money like TV money, but it's good money, civilian money. I mean, when, you know, you never made $8,000 or $10,000 or $12,000 a night for fucking roofing. So you can never go like, well, this is bullshit. I'm not going to do this. I mean, it's still real money, but it's just not the real money that you made in the past in the TV world or whatever realm we happen to be talking about.
Or the development deals where you get that like $100,000 just to sit. Are we going to hold you for a season for $100,000? You know, when that stops.
Yeah.
Then you go, uh-oh. And then they go, and now we're not calling you for anything else. Then they go, then you start looking at the nightclubs a little differently because I noticed I was getting older and people in the nightclubs are the same age.
Right.
You know, but like the old stripper, Rich learned new tricks. I mean, the old stripper has to learn to blow smoke rings out her butthole or something.
Yeah, she's got to be better.
Yeah. She's got to be better.
And I've learned the same trick.
Well,
that's your opener.
That's it.
So Rich, you basically dusted off the cobwebs and essentially got your act back together and literally took
all
it on the road.
I had to do a new act. I sold my old act.
Oh, you sold it?
I sold it to Jeff Foxworthy. He bought a bunch for a couple of specials.
And, you sold your
I
act?
I sold my act.
Wow.
Other comics, there are a lot of comics like me. You know, in every generation, there's a peeling away. You know, I mean, you know, you've seen it. All of a sudden, these guys aren't getting jobs anymore. They you know, so a lot of guys were like, a lot of people called me up and go, how'd you sell your act for that much? Because I sold it for a lot of money. Foxworthy paid top dollar. Then Ron White bought a bunch.
But that material wouldn't be relevant anymore. You Amy Carter jokes.
Ron, I'm not funny White? Or what's his name?
Is that his middle name?
Tater Salad.
Tater Salad.
Yeah, right, got it.
Tater Salad? Okay. How the fuck does that work? Why are you going to sell some shit?
Right? You can sell your act.
Do you see those guys? They have a trailer behind their tour bus. They sell so much merch, it is unfreaking believable.
Those blue-collar comedy guys, that is the life, right?
Well, you know, it's like somebody once said to Fox when I was in the room, they go, Jeff, you know, you just appeal to the largest common, you know, the biggest common denominator. He goes, I appeal to the largest denominator.
Oh, not the lowest, the largest.
Right, right, I mean, right.
It's one of the same, isn't it?
No, look at the NASCAR fans. Of course, but I mean, you can say what you want, but...
Hey, speaking of which, can I ask you a question?
Yeah.
Those barbecue things on your website.
Mangrate, yeah.
That looks awesome.
Thank you.
Thank you.
I'm serious.
Kind of you.
Yeah.
It's a grill enhancement system.
What is the secret? Have you seen it?
Yeah.
It's a grill enhancement system. What the fuck does it do? How does it work?
It is a big chunk of cast iron, which heats up, and instead of cooking the food through convection, meaning the hot air, the thing gets up to like 500 degrees, and the cast iron does. It's like the steakhouse. Essentially, it's one of these things.
I don't get a kickback for asking you.
No, but it's one of these things where
truly was intrigued.
They make these great grills. They make these great barbecues. All the propane and the thing you can boil your corn in, and the thing that sucks your dick while you're up against it. Ooh, write that down because I've spent a lot more time grilling. But they skimp at the very end. They give you a coat hanger. Great, and that's why it's shitty. This is a big chunk of iron like you get at the steakhouse. So this guy just made these chunks of iron. You know, it costs several $1,000s to ship it, but it's only $19.
It is quite affordable.
You have to have a flatbed truck. You have to rent Jeff Worthy's T-shirt truck, just to a trailer, to just to get it over to your house. Yeah.
Was it weird seeing Foxworthy do your act? Because I imagine you develop that over a lot of years, and it's kind of close to your heart.
Well, how about the part where he says, and then my wife says, Rich. Jeff.
I got to tell you, man, comics know this. If there's like two types of comics. There's really one who's more of a performer, or there's one more of a writer. And I was always one more of a writer. So after a while, I got bored with jokes fast. You know, I no longer get the big spun out of it. I knew that one's still funny. I know that thought's funny. They're digging that. I want to do some. I was constantly churning up new ones. Guys who are performers more, they don't give a shit, man. They'll go up there and do, you know, as long as they're getting the laughs, getting the attention, they don't care if it's an old joke, a new joke. They'll do street jokes. You know?
That's why they steal jokes.
The guys who are the biggest thieves are the ones who are the biggest laugh junkies. They just want to laugh more than anyone else. It's like you can't play. It's like somebody breaks into your house
like
and steals
real junkies.
Something. Exactly. Yeah, like
that was going to be the title of I Am Comic on Showtime.
Laugh junkies. I bid on one of Rich's jokes on eBay just the other week, but tater salad beat
me. Oh, you got it?
Yeah.
It was
a knock-knock joke. It was just going to be a gag for my kids. I just wanted to tell my kids.
Like
I was going to do it on stage, Rich, but I didn't want to pay that kind of money for something I was going to do on stage.
Jeez, it's hard to get outbid by tater salad.
Well, he's got deep balls.
That's why I get the big bucks. And the shipping for the jokes is much less than the man grade.
So after 12 years, what made you go back to stand-up?
Well, I had come out with a book with another comic named Mark Shipp called I Kill, which is just road stories of comics.
He's not here. Don't plug him.
I won't plug him.
Don't give him any credit.
He doesn't exist. You just said other comedians don't exist.
We did this thing. You're right. So Jordan comes and he says, I want to do a documentary. And I go, I don't want to do just a bunch of road stories. I want to talk about what makes somebody decide that I got to be a stand-up comic instead of just the funniest carpenter. Like the funniest guy I know is back in New Jersey. He's a union carpenter. He's the funniest guy I know.
But
when he doesn't
want to
be funny, he's not funny.
He's a carpenter's carpenter. Other carpenters go, that is good carpentry.
When he leaves the door, everyone goes in the back of the room.
He's a Louis C.K. of Finnish carpenters. Right. I mean, he's been said many times. He's heard it before. It's not news to him.
So
if anyone on the construction site's ever heard of Louis C.K.
He appeals to the working man.
I don't know.
He appeals to the working man.
The man like working in the WGA kind of man.
I love that. He appeals to. He's a candidate for the working man.
So have you seen this, Rich? Have you seen guys on the road that have been, you know, whether it's prostitution or stand-up comedy, the attitude of somebody who's been forced to do it. through financial circumstances versus I really just want to be here in Decatur, Illinois, in the middle of a fucking week doing three shows on a Saturday night. You know, have you seen guys sort of get bitter on the road?
Stupid
question. And then you sort of take it like when I used to teach comedy traffic school on a Sunday, everyone in the room was bitter and they're angry at me. Because in a way, I was the reason they were there, even though I wasn't the reason they were there. I was the guy who ruined their Sunday, even though it was the cop that ruined their Sunday. I was just getting them. I was teaching traffic school. I imagine there's a lot of guys who think they're above it, or at least they were above it, swore they'd never go back to it, had to swallow their pride, and then got up in front of the audience and took it out on the audience.
No, I think Bobcat Goldthwait in our movie said, I'm only doing it because it's the money. I'm broke. That's how come I went back.
He said, happier I got, the less I cared about doing stand-up.
Well, he's pretty pissed off again.
Yeah.
But I've worked with guys. Most guys, the guys are really bitter ones who've never gone to L.A. to even find out.
They're just road dogs.
Yeah, road dogs.
And they don't even know whether they could have made it.
I mean, years ago, when I used to still do chemicals, this was many years ago, I worked with these guys, and it was this Cajun. And we start doing some chemicals, you know.
Is it Cajun?
Yeah, he was a Cajun comedian.
Oh, not another fucking Cajun comedian.
They have a tour? Goddamn
jambalaya jokes.
Do they sell a lot of merch?
All that stuff. It's so fucking.
They sell a lot of merch.
I'm so tired of those guys trying to appeal to the middle of the country.
But he's yelling up punchlines like étouffée.
He shoots and scores.
He pulls out a gun. He's putting down blow, and he's chopping up cocaine. Then he goes, all right, here's what I'm going to do. Put this gun down here. Now, we'll find out who's funnier. I go, what's the gun on there? He goes, I don't know. It's out there. You deal with it.
Wow.
So those cocksucking goddamn Jew bastards in Los Angeles, they don't want a real man like me out there telling them what it's at. And I'm going, I'm stuck doing blow with this guy. And there's a gun on the table, and I have no idea why the gun's
Find out who's funnier.
Yeah, find out who's funnier. We'll find out who's funnier. LA comedian. I thought we were going to party, relax a little bit at the time of the show. This guy was so bitter, so angry. And I go, have you ever gone to LA to try out? No.
That's his extra 40 pounds.
Yeah.
He can think, oh, fuck them. But really, he can know that there's a chance that if he moved to L.A., he could have made it.
But
he's like a really
funny
deer hunter.
But it's better to never try at all for this kind of guy.
Yeah. So, hey, I've...
There's a lot of guys like that.
I've been traveling around doing a little stand-up, so I'm bitter as well. And you do run into those guys that are the local guy, you know, that the guy who works that club, and they'll come out to watch you just say hi, or maybe they're there anyway, and they come up, and it's the thing that's weird, and the thing that I think it's important for everyone to understand is everything is relative in life, you know? If you're complaining because you're under 6 foot and you're a guy, you're 5'9" and a half, just go find yourself a nice dwarf. You'll feel better about yourself. I'm sorry I'm looking at you, but Rich is a rangy guy. And the point is this. No, but listen.
It's like riding a bus. You feel better when you get off. Hey, I got a car.
Yeah, or at least I'm not the guy who puts his bike on the front of the bus and then gets on the bus. You want to talk about if there was like a mule stand, that'd be the lowest. I like the idea of his bike. I ride a bike and a bus. Like, how fucking low can you get? How out of transportation are you? Rode your bike to the bus. So wherever you are, there's always someone underneath you, but there's always someone above you. And if you're just focusing on the guys who are above you and you never stop, it's good to talk to that local guy. Because to that local guy, the chasm between where you are and where Seinfeld is about the same between you are and where that dude is. That's the chasm. Right. I mean, it really is. And that guy's looking at you like, holy shit, what a life. You get to go back to Ramada Inn and fly business. Yeah, awesome.
Yeah,
you know?
He's got a Toyota Corolla with about 600,000 miles.
Yours only has 250,000 miles on it.
Yeah, but then there's some open micer looking at him because he's a big deal
it's
at that local
relevant.
Club.
I didn't realize you learned so much being here on the show.
You really do learn. That's well, it's all relative because there's other shows where you learn so much. And no.
This show? Yeah. Right. So did you slowly start building the act back?
No, he goes, we were in New York and I was watching these comics perform at the Comedy Cellar there. And I was getting like that, you know, you're hearing the laughter. It's like watching people. It's like that old Bill Cosby. I'm watching somebody cook a steak. I'm watching them have all the fun, and I couldn't sit in a comedy club anymore. I hadn't gone back to clubs for a long time just for that reason. I knew it would be like that. And he goes, come on, you got to go back on. Come on, just go back on stage. I go, okay. So he found this place, the Liquid Zoo on Sepulveda Boulevard.
The Liquid Zoo on Sepulveda.
How it's close on the to corner Bob's of Classy Crack and Lady War. Is that?
Yeah,
oh, really?
It's really close. It's really bad.
Wow.
You'll find it.
Wow.
Don't believe me.
There'll be a picture.
Sepulveda and what's the cross street?
Sherman Way.
So you're at the Liquid Zoo, but
it's a full service area.
Yeah. I take it you don't drink anymore since you stopped with the chemicals. So back last time you were doing comedy, were you sober then?
Yeah.
Okay. So that's not a new thing.
Yeah. And I needed that alcohol on the road and the alcohol and the drugs to dull the loneliness and the bitterness.
Sure.
So I went back out there and went, this is... You know, but I come back with Jordan and it was like, you know, I really was digging it again. I just, for the laughs, no like intention of, you know, I got to be a
Can
star.
Can I just say, he went up with some material mm-hmm. and right before we went on, because we filmed the whole thing and it's in the movie, I Am Comic, on Showtime. it's on demand.
On demand.
On demand.
You don't have to wait right now. For you can see it now.
Yeah, you don't have to wait. You could just say, I want it now. And like a genie, it shows up on Showtime. I said, Rich, if you don't worry, there's no pressure because if you go up there and you kill... It will be great for the documentary. And if you bomb, it'll be fucking
Even
great
better.
For the documentary.
Yeah. Right.
But he didn't bomb. And when he started riffing on The Room, it was the Rich Scheidner that you mentioned, Adam. It was the Rich Scheidner that comics in the back of the room would go, this is the guy from L.A. we came to see. And he destroyed the Liquid Zoo.
Wow.
He did. How many people were
well,
there?
Well, it was easy, Adam. They had a TV on. They had guys playing pinball pool in the back.
Sure.
You know what I mean? It was like to rip this place apart was easy.
And Rich would hear the cheers, and it turned out their soccer team scored a goal.
Right. Or there was a gang rape on the pool table in
the
back.
Jodie Foster's getting raped on a pinball machine.
It was Jodie Foster.
Yeah. So... So now, Rich. Now, here's what I'm hoping. Here's what
I have. Isn't that the movie?
I have questions.
Thank you.
Thank you.
How does it work? I don't want to sound like a snob.
Okay. Too late.
All right. But I could not imagine buying someone else's jokes or acts or doing someone else's acts or jokes. If I ever mention something intentionally that someone else did, I always say. Here's something that this guy said. I thought it was funny. It seems counterintuitive to me. Like I would feel like an imposter. It doesn't. Right. I wouldn't feel like. And I know these guys are much smarter than I am because listen, the blue collar comedy guys. I mean, Foxworthy, maybe Foxworthy, but I've interviewed Tater Salad. Fucking Tater. This guy's not a comedian.
The cable
He's
guy.
A guy who collects jokes and then regurgitates them on stage.
No, I mean, he does his own stuff. I mean, but they get so much demand for material. I mean, they have to churn up so much freaking material. Look, there are other guys I sold to. I can't tell you who I sold to because I have non-disclosure. They're like, they don't want anybody to know.
Oh, really?
It's come different. On. It's a podcast.
It's the difference in the last 30, 40 years. The comics don't – the audience thinks everything comes out of this comic's mouth, is out of their brain, and they want to believe that.
Right.
It's a different thing. Like but how Shecky does it, Green era, you
how
know,
does
when people trading jokes with each other.
How does it work where Jeff Ross still living in the Shecky Green era, by the way? I just spoke to him the other day. So it's a great era for comedy. We're in the Shecky Green era. How does it work?
Really?
Does Foxworthy contact you and offer to buy your jokes? Or do you say, I'm getting out, I'm putting, you know, spread the word, I'm getting rid of my act?
I was writing on his TV show. Uh-huh. And he said, I got this HBO special coming up, and I really, you know, need help with it.
Mm-hmm.
And he said, I'll give you X amount of money. I mm-hmm. said, well, I'll help you write it. Well, mm-hmm. what was easy to do is me just chop off bits.
Asked him, he wouldn't say, I bought Rich's act.
No, he would.
He'd say, Jeff Rich wrote
care.
Jokes
Jeff
for me.
Jeff doesn't care.
Yeah, why should he?
He doesn't care. And then we wrote stuff together, too. You know, some mm-hmm. stuff we thought would work didn't work, stuff that did work. You know, but mm-hmm. You know, it's just easy with a guy like that. He's an easy guy to get along with. So, mm-hmm. you know, he just works hard at it. Ron White's a different guy, man. I told him, to his face, I'll tell you, the guy's got, he's one of the funniest guys around. I've never seen anybody get more out of a bottle of liquor than W.C. Fields.
Right,
the guy's
right.
got the stamina of a rhino, and he's got the work ethic of a turkey buzzard. And he mm-hmm. just, you know, he does it every night. You know, he's not going to try new stuff. Jeff, every night, will at least go out there and risk it and try it.
Try some of your new stuff.
it's new to him.
What's it called? Courageous.
Some of the new stuff that works.
Yeah.
Right.
But also stuff that doesn't. I mean,
I'll
just
try some of Rich's old stuff for the first time.
No, we tried one. We said if you're out chasing women over the age of 40, you know, you're more than likely like wanted by more than one law enforcement agency, mm-hmm. and your best pickup move is a bottle of ether in a glove compartment. Mm-hmm. Now we thought that was, you know, kind of working funny and all. It got groans like, it got, you know, it's not his crowds.
No, he works it.
No roofie jokes for Jeff.
No. The chlorophyll ones either. Or chloroform. Which one is it?
Chloroform.
Yeah. Shall we, now we got games to play. We got stuff to do. I'm into our guests.
I know. I want to know what happened when you began this journey of self-discovery and went back out on stage. You kill the first night, and then you keep going?
No, he's being generous. You know, I was trying stuff. Some of it was working, some of it wasn't.
But most of your crowd work was good.
Yeah, yeah.
All the crowd work was good.
Yeah.
And the journey through, it riches the heart and soul of the movie. Mm-hmm. There's 80 other comedians in there, and we fold their little stories around Rich, mm-hmm. basically. But you see him formulate a routine by the end of the movie.
Oh, by the way, I just got a call from Jackie Martley and left a message. He's pissed. He found out he's not in the movie. He just found out.
Oh.
The Joke Man?
The Joke Man.
Oh, he got cut out.
He'll be on the supplement DVD.
But you couldn't couldn't keep everyone
he's
in
off
there.
Demand.
No. He's off demand.
Bobby Slayton,
he's demanding.
8 seconds in the movie.
But it's a good 8 seconds.
It's a great 8 seconds.
Great 8 seconds.
Well, he can read half a phone book in 8 seconds. I mean, he can scream.
He gets
Now, did you find then, Rich, did you find that you missed the crowd, you missed the stage, you missed that?
Yeah. I missed that laughter a lot. It makes us mentally whole. You know that.
I don't. I'm not that guy.
No?
I wish I was. I really wish I was. I prefer to be left alone.
Yeah?
I really do.
Why are you doing this?
Because no one's in the room.
There's people here.
You guys just ruined it for
me. They're out there laughing. You know they're laughing.
No, I mean,
you delude yourself into thinking no one's ever going to hear this conversation. It's just us here.
No, but I like
he talks around with headphones in his office and home, so
mine doesn't even work.
I don't like to be in front of a group. I don't like to be on stage. Here's my problem really in life. If I go out and have a great night, then I'm a comedian, everyone paid $30, and that's what they're supposed to see. If I don't have a great night, then I fucked up. So it's this kind of a thing where it's I guess like being an airline pilot. You know, you just go land the plane, everything's fine. No one pats you on the back. That's your job. But you fuck up one time, we got a problem.
We got a real problem.
And so for me, I only really remember fucking up because when people laugh, well, I'm a comedian. They paid money and they came to the club and that's what they're supposed to get. And I don't have any, I don't get a high off it. It's out of my system the second I walk off stage. I don't feel good about myself on the way home. It's just, it doesn't feel like
anything.
How about
when you're up there?
No.
Nothing.
Just want to get, I want to finish and leave. If they're laughing, it's just like, good, laugh a little longer and I can think of what I'm going
to
say next.
If you could get down telling one joke and they laugh for an hour and a half, you'd be happy.
If I could fart and get them to laugh for an hour and a half while I left and drank some water, I'd be happy.
Do you ever get stage fright?
I get nervous before I go on every time.
You do.
But everybody
every
does.
Time.
Everybody. Every time.
Don't get nervous. I don't get nervous.
No?
Then you don't. I don't get nervous because really, I'm not doing anything.
No,
I don't
care. You really
I don't
care.
Care.
Right. Because yeah, if you care, you get nervous.
But also,
right.
I mean, Adam, you're just so natural at it. Like at the
oh,
we had
really
this big event, this Laughs for Bald Brian thing, and I got the feeling that you hadn't prepared at all. And there was a really big audience.
Good bet.
And yet, it was better than a lot of acts that have been honed over many years. It's just, it comes naturally to you. So maybe it's not as satisfying.
I remember stinking that.
No,
night,
wrong.
Any, it went down
no.
in my book. It's just, ah, you went up there.
I remember
and
leaving thinking,
around for
that
a while.
Must be so weird just to be able to do that, just oh. to be able to stand up in front of people. I prepare for everything within an inch of my life. Because I'm terrified of being mediocre, and then I still am. But this, I just thought, I mean, that must be just to have that skill and not even get nervous about it.
But it's not, I don't get nervous, not because I'm confident. I don't get nervous because I don't care. Like going on a date with the aforementioned fat chick
yeah,
who you don't really like that much care. And you're gay anyway and you just beat off.
Yeah. Oh my God, you're gay and you just beat off?
Yeah.
That's, wow.
And all
you're
of a sudden it's like,
yeah,
you pick her up, you're not sweating, yeah. you're not worried about it, you don't have to open the door for her. You're like, right. Sit down.
That is a no pressure
thing. We'll hit the RBs, you'll get what you get. I'll order for the both of us.
But you get some jitters beforehand,
yeah.
even after
I do
doing
care.
Because
he cares.
He cares. He wants to laugh.
I want it.
That's right.
He gives it his all, too.
I want it. You know,
I give it my all too, but again, that's just low. I don't get up there and like mail it in. Once I'm there, I'm fucking dancing.
You can be one of those guys who are naturals. I mean, there are guys who are naturals. There are guys who like who the first time up, I saw Foxworthy go up the first time he ever went up. It was a this open mic kind of thing down in Atlanta. I saw him go up. I was emceeing it because it was part of the job you had to do. And I went after. So how long have you been doing? He goes, well, that was my first time. I'm like, oh my God,
wow,
like naturals, like you. A guy just goes up there and they just, that, so it's easy for you, so you don't feel like it's worth anything.
Right. If
because,
you work for it.
Wow. Right.
Yes.
But that's not true.
No, I'm
just
like,
because
I'm,
it's easier
I'm
for
like
you.
A, I'm like a coked up Lawrence Taylor. Like, I'm just like, ah, fuck it, this is easy.
Yeah.
I don't have to work at this.
Right.
Yeah.
I'm not going to practice. I'm going to fuck some whores. You know, if I show up, I show up.
Like somebody like Seinfeld who sweats every single word and every punchline and, you know, goes up for a year to test new material before he does it on TV. That maybe when you put that kind of effort into it, it's really meaningful if a joke lands.
Yeah.
Right? I think it's a craft. Too.
For guys like
not
that,
for
he,
me,
he
but
is
for
a writer.
Everyone else, it's a craft.
He's one of those guys who's more of a writer than a performer because Jerry Hokeman talked to him. He'll go, like, I remember once I did this thing, a bit talked about the door locks, you know, which are basically the automatic door locks when they first came out on cars, was the kind of thing where you could lock all the doors at once and you're
right.
safe. You can't get me now, right?
Right.
And you could play with people. Oh, I'm trying to get me. Oh, too late.
Right.
And Seinfeld walks up and goes, I've been trying to break that code for a couple of weeks. You got it. You nailed it. And then he goes, you could tell he's like, he was, like, happy to see that somebody else got it, but he's also going, I'm done with that one. I'm moving on to something else. A guy who's constantly looking for the next thing that nobody else is doing. That's where he gets his kick.
And he came up to me in a parking lot at CBS Radford, and he said, hey, you know, you're well, it's funny with me because people say you're bit on whatever, and I remember looking at his bits because I repeat myself, but I just talk and I don't write it down, and it just put it out.
Leno kind of guy, are you?
I don't know what I don't know what Leno does. Well, like
that's
cars.
The way it used to be. That's the way it used to be.
I just sort of talk, and I never write anything down until lately. I was writing a book, so I started writing shit down, or I tell someone to
that'll
write stuff
help.
Down.
That'll help for a book.
It really does
help.
Well, it's different. I tell people, hey, here's $100. Listen to what I said, and then you write the shit down if you think it's any good. Or find the good stuff. But he came up to me and he said, you know your bit Rich Man, Poor Man? And it's a bit we did on the radio
yeah.
where It
was the shower. It started with the showers. You noticed that.
I was writing for Jimmy Kimmel's TV show and somehow popped in my head that an outdoor shower means you're either super rich or dirt poor. But there's no middle class of an outdoor shower.
None.
And I start thinking, you know, a refrigerator outside means it's either by the cabana, by the pool, or, you know, you got a raccoon sleeping in it. You know what I mean? And then I start thinking, you know, eight cars in the driveway. The list just kept on being, being driven to the airport. It's either a chauffeur or it's a fucking Uncle Lou and you can't afford the shuttle. You know what I mean? Like, there's all these things, walking around in your pajamas all day, you know, just things that meant you were super rich or super poor.
It's a great thing.
And he, like, came up to me. I don't know where he heard the bit, but he's like, that's a franchise bit, man. And I don't know why I sound like Jeff Foxworthy there.
And, Seinfeld Foxworthy.
And I said, well, what do you mean? It was like, you got to do
T-shirts, books.
Whatever, books, T-shirts. You might be rich or you might be poor. Here's how you know. Here's your sign or whatever it is.
Yeah.
And then I realized that's my problem. I don't have any of that fucking.
And I never did either.
Some stupid idea.
I'd be with those guys. They, you know, Bill Engvall would be cutting out signs in the daytime to sell at the show that night. And I'd be like, just think of being funny is enough.
Right.
Yeah.
But here's your sign.
Here's your sign.
I like
here's
your eccentric or derelict.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's true.
I'm going to put a twist on it and steal it.
I'm lazy.
You'll think about it. You'll be driving home and you'll think, oh my God, eating exotic meat. Squirrel?
Yeah. Like hunting exotic game. Jesus.
They'll come to you.
Yeah. Your liquor comes in a bag or pouch. One is a Crown Royal, the other is a sack. And there's also like having kids out of wedlock.
Sure, sex
like
with cousins.
Tons of and at the end of the sex with
the royals.
Yeah.
Jets land near your house.
Yeah.
Because you live near the airport or you own Jets.
You could be John Travolta.
Right.
Yeah. Shoveling dirt on a construction site. Either the guy with the silver shovel doing the photo op or the poor Mexican is just digging a footing, you know. But nothing in between. All right. Hey, something about this rich man poor. Write that down.
Is that in the book?
Is this Beanie? Is this Beanie over here?
Yeah. No, there's nothing in the book.
When did this Seinfeld exchange happen?
That was when I was my CBS sitcom was failing.
Okay. So a year?
So
Was that
was that when Seinfeld was still over CBS Radford too?
Over a year ago, yeah.
Over a year ago.
Comedian, you saw that?
Over a year ago. Oh, no, I didn't. I'm not interested in comedy. Yeah. No.
It's not on Showtime.
It's not on demand like your movie.
No, our movie's on demand.
My phone number is in the movie. Jordan put it as a joke, my actual phone number.
Gets a big laugh.
Because it gets a big laugh. You can't take it out once it gets a big laugh.
Right.
But every time the Showtime airs our movie, I get like flurries, calls from all over the country.
Are you still married?
Is this really it? No.
Two kids, you said?
Three kids. Three kids. No marriage. Ex-wife and I get along great. Nobody's putting out hits on each other.
Mm-hmm.
You know, checks moving smoothly every month.
Mm-hmm.
Kids are fine. Everybody's cool.
All right. You're good.
How old are these kids?
20, 15, and 10.
Now, how many dates do you do, let's say, a year now?
I just started coming back. Jordan just started coming. So I've literally done like, you know, half a dozen dates since January. It's not like I've jumped back in and everybody's...
We just
oh, my God, Seinfeld's coming back. Let's clear out the theaters.
Right.
It's me.
And playing clubs?
Wherever. I did a cruise ship. First time ever. And I'm telling you, I don't care what it is, it's moving. Don't do comedy on moving objects.
Mm.
Lexington, Kentucky, October 6th.
Oh, yeah?
Rich will be there.
You're going to be there, too?
On a snake bed truck.
I'm going to be there. Yep.
With the Georgia satellites.
That's what we should do. Get a flatbed truck with a sound system and just roll through the Dairy Queens.
Five glasses.
Yeah.
Mobile comedian.
Have a couple bug zappers to help.
But the whole thing, it's like when I'm going, hey, I want to see Rich Shiner. And then someone goes, well, where is he? He comes to you. Maybe like what?
You should come to your Dairy Queen.
You go out to your front porch. He'll bring the comedy to you. You're sitting
go
on a hay
town,
bale.
Little sound system that comedy tonight. Just come right through.
Yeah.
Town, round up everybody. Dairy Queen, 8 o'clock.
Kind of like the Blues Brothers. A little Uncle Henry, a hooga horn. You know, that means Rich is rolling into town.
We get a big bonfire.
Yeah.
Let everybody know we're here.
And guys, you know, the ultimate compliments. I went to Dairy Queen to buy a pack of cigarettes, and I stayed to the end of the set. That's how good Rich is.
Well, last time you were on the road.
buy a pack of cigarettes
at the Dairy Queen. I didn't want to say anything.
No. I love it because that was really Southern. That was really, he hit it.
I was thinking of the dairy type. I know it's Dairy Queen, but I was thinking of the dairies. If you're going to do your tour of the South, you got to hit the dairy drive-through.
Sure.
Dairies, yeah. as well as
like a 7-Eleven type.
Sorry, but yes. Yeah.
So last time when you were on the road, you were married, and this time you were single.
Yeah.
Mm.
Was it a different?
I'm older, too.
Yeah. So but still, I'm sure you're out, popular Jergens. With the ladies.
Oh, I'm popular
not
with the
ladies. I think he's getting very charming.
Oh, a lot
in
of
the
hot 21-year-olds going, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, exactly.
I saw him on the Tonight Show with Johnny Carson when
you
I was a zygote.
You know what I get? My dad thinks you're funny.
Oh,
yeah. That's
but sometimes those are the fucked up chicks that really go for the older guy.
Mm-hmm. My mom's a big fan, but she had a hip replacement and couldn't come out. So she sent me to tape what he's doing.
Yeah.
She thinks you're funny.
Yeah. That's
you know Carrot Top?
They want to know if you know?
Yeah.
Now, do you lie and say you do, or do you?
No,
he's
I do
in the
know.
Movie. Carrot Top's in the movie.
Yeah.
What's up with Carrot? Something up.
I think he's doing the steroids. I think he's got the same supplier as Bonaducci.
Really?
Big with the steroids. Oh, they're both juicing. Come on, man.
Turn the heads.
You can't have that kind of muscle definition after the age of 40 without steroids.
This is Danny
coming. Free time.
Is it all?
What is this?
Danny.
This is Bonaducci.
Yes.
He smokes a lot.
Do you think? Now is it a sort of thing where like whether it be Bonaducci or Carrot Top, like we'd get more involved but we don't care if they die? Do you know what I mean? Like
just
a kind of weird thing.
What are you gonna do with someone with steroids?
Well,
that's stupid.
All I'm saying, they'll get you in a headlock if you get too involved. But what I'm saying is there's so many things. It's like the Anna Nicole Smith thing where it's like she's up there on the VMAs like she's slurring and drooling and doing I'm pretty mommy said I was pretty and all she got lipstick going up her cheek and around her head and coming back down her forehead again and shit like that and we're all just laughing like look at her, she's freaked out of her brain, you know, she's on 10 kinds of prescription
meanwhile
medicine.
People intervene to save Steve-O. But
right.
They don't bother with her.
Now, I'm wondering, I'm just saying, if that's Bill Gates, and Bill Gates is up there, and he's slurring, and he's got lipstick all over his forehead, somebody, gets to jump in and go, hey, man.
You got a problem.
Listen, we got something to lose
who
here.
Love you.
And Nicole Smith is like, be funny if she died at 37. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Do we kind of feel that way about Carrot Top?
I always go back to Elvis Presley.
Mm-hmm.
They couldn't stop
him.
More that's money riding on that guy than anybody since.
Right.
So if they couldn't stop Elvis from doing himself in,
but
how about everybody else?
But do we? Why don't we
like a national intervention to save what Bonaducci? What?
Why don't we? Well, at least in the Philadelphia area where he's heard on the morning.
We used to work with him, and every morning I used to give him this pill. So if he drank, the alcohol would become toxic in his system. Have you heard of this?
Anabuse?
Yes, Anabuse.
Been around for hundreds.
Yeah, and then I found out he was cheeking it. Because he's no,
that's keistering.
Oh.
Thank you, keistering. Yeah,
keistering.
Oh, yeah. I know because he enlisted me because he said you seem really trustworthy and I want you to give me these
pills.
Of course,
very charming, very devious alcoholism.
Yeah,
it's very devious. Very
devious. Was I really believed him? He really wants to stop drinking and he needs me to help him.
I sat with the Top.
Is he funny?
The Top is not on the roids.
He's not.
No,
he just works
out. He just has
a
lot of free time. He does a show a night in Vegas, and he pumps iron. He was a skinny kid, because I asked him in an interview. In fact, we'll put it on the DVD.
Mm-hmm.
You asked him about this.
I'm serious. I asked him. I said, you look more buff than I remember on the college circuit. And he said, I was a skinny kid, and
I get
it.
I get it. The working out. Yeah. I'm still not buying it. He's not doing it. Well, I'm talking about the cut he's got. The cut he's got.
Yeah.
Oh, geez, you're going to start beating off, Rich? Well, let me say this. If you drag around a fucking trunk with 200 pounds worth of shit in it every night,
that's pretty big arms, too. That's prop strong.
Yeah.
That's what that is.
I give him credit for that, man. I remember when his props all burned up and he had to come back and make them again. Look at that.
I remember when Foxworthy bought his trunk.
Oh, yeah.
For special.
Get that off.
Piece by piece.
Oh, my God.
T, should we do... Well, let's go ahead and skip to TiVo Trivia and just say that Brian would have won anyway.
Yeah, congratulations.
All right, yeah. Fuck off. Let's...
you have kids?
Let's mop up some...
I won, baby, yeah.
One baby.
Nine months old.
That twins.
Already.
How old?
4-year-old. 4-year-old twins.
Ah, so you're going to get in that era where all the kids' friends, You got to be friends with the parents.
Yeah, I don't like the nannies this, already, but there's a language
wait till you get into school and all. You're going to have to make friends with all the friends of your kids. How do you choose your friends anymore? We don't choose them. They just are chosen by our kids. Our kids are friends with that kid.
Oh, yeah.
So now we have
the
to be friends
age.
With the parents.
It's not even just the same age. It's like the same nap time, same neighborhood.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's how you choose.
Nobody has play dates.
What happened today, just literally word for word, is... I had a meeting, a lunch, with some guys over at Mike Judge. Animation guys, couple lieutenants in his army, couple, you know, it's Mike Judge, and then there's these two guys. I guess Mike lives in Texas.
Well, they got to be admirals or generals.
Yeah, yeah.
He's emperor.
Yeah, they're way up there. Mm-hmm. They're rear admirals, which always sounds gay to me. Have a good name for a gay bar. Okay. What's my name for a gay bar?
I'm sure it has been.
Fruit stand.
Oh, the fruit stand.
Yeah,
I like that.
Fruit stand.
I had a meeting with these guys. Now, I sit down at lunch with these guys for 2 hours and have a real meeting with them about, you know, some projects and stuff. And then at the end, the one guy, Dave, says, how are the kids? And I said, can I mention our kids? No, we... Our kids go to the same school. They go to the little Lord Fauntleroy School for albino hemophiliacs up there on the hill. And I said, oh, your kid goes to that school? And he goes, yeah, we talked for like 2 hours during one of the pie, you know, during one of the pie sales, you know, and you were telling me all about whatever. And I was like, oh. And I realized I have the ability, unlike the Jews, to forget immediately.
Never forget.
Immediately. I have this thing where it's like, I realize that if I don't just turn the page, I'll end up hanging around with these people I don't really want to hang out with, although I should want to hang out with this guy because he's giving me a fucking job and I should have kissed his ass at the fucking bake sale. But I realize it just washes right past me. I get my car and I drive home and I have no recollection of it. I sat in a meeting with this guy for 2 hours. He must think I'm a credible asshole because I didn't sit down and go, hey, how's it doing? Hey,
how are your kids?
Hey, did you buy those muffins? I didn't say a fucking word about it. He says, how you doing? Good to see you. Nice to meet you. Now let's talk about me.
It's called integrity, Adam.
Is that what it is?
You're better off that way.
I know.
They're going to change schools. You'll never see these parents again. Jobs will come and go. But you got to get rid of these people as fast as possible. You're right.
Yeah. Well, I'll tell you, the greatest tactical move I made in my relationship is one of my wife's very dear friends was married to a guy. And it's always that, hey, you got to get to know this guy. You got to get to know this guy. And I'm like, why do I got to get to know him? I don't think I like him. Well, how about he just comes over and gets to know me? Nah, you got to reach out to him. Well, you know, a couple years later, they get divorced. Maybe he was stepping out on him. And now every time I get to rub it in Lynette's face, yeah? You're glad I didn't get to know him now, because then we'd be hanging out. It'd be uncomfortable. It'd be like, oh, when's she coming over? Because he's got to come over, and we're going out to the ball game. Count your lucky stars. I'm antisocial, sweetie. As a matter of fact, I'm even uncomfortable with this conversation about having conversations with other people. That's how antisocial I am. Thank you, T. Do you have the rest of the news?
I do.
You have a little news. We can all just jump in on it.
Yes. That is not about the movie. Sure. My son's with me out here. That's what you have to look forward to.
Really?
Be friends with your son.
Oh, really?
With your kids.
Yeah.
I hope so.
And he loves to hear the bad words that you guys, everybody's been
talking. How old's your son?
He's fucking 14.
Oh.
Aww. He's a cute little fucker.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There he is right there.
Stay away from the fucking muffin, son.
Now, you remember when he was just a little baby? Did it fly by?
Whew.
Because it's going very slowly.
Yeah.
Yeah.
People keep saying, oh, it flies by. No, it fucking doesn't.
Yeah. I agree.
But we're Facebook friends, and that's kind of cramping his style.
No, yeah, you got to get off there.
Like, yeah, there was a survey about eating pussy, and I saw it.
And my
mother commented. No, his grandmother commented.
You guys are way too much family.
Wow.
It's really weird these days.
You got to go to my new place. I have one. It's an antisocial site called burningbridges.com.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, I've logged
on. Get rid of people. Get rid of people.
On, yeah.
Locked onto that. Just get rid of people. Cut them out. I don't want to hear from you. There's no reason to ever contact me again. You got all these people on Facebook, friends, and then when their stuff scrolls up once in a while, you go, whoa, how did this people, how did this guy get in?
Yeah, with their pussy-eating surveys.
No, that'd be great.
The guy from high school, we were never friends, wanted to be friends, and I was like, okay. He came to our screening in Manhattan and hung out like, I'll wait till everybody's gone, you and I will have a drink.
Sure.
We were never fucking friends.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Even worse.
Nice guy, too.
Just, listen, yeah. This girl, Robin, her name was Robin, she bullied me so badly in elementary school that I'm scarred. But I realized bullies don't remember it at all. I mean, they turn the fucking page. They don't remember anything about it. Because she contacted me on Facebook when we were both pregnant at the same time. She's like, oh, I've been a fan. It's so cool to find you on Facebook. Remember when we went to elementary school? I was like, yeah, of course. It's been seared into my brain.
You scarred me.
When you made up a song about my hands being small. Like, I remember the lyrics to the mean fucking song you made up, you stupid bitch. Dear, like, I can't believe you want to be.
I just noticed. They are
small. I have mini hands. Yeah. Yeah.
But you know what? That's not a bad thing.
No.
Well, it's toxic.
Sure, it's all relative.
It's become. Yeah.
I bet guys like that. I like.
It's become valuable later in life.
Could have made that pill Bonaducci with cheek.
Yeah.
Could have made it a suppository. Wouldn't even know.
You know what? It wouldn't have felt. It would have been like nothing.
Yep. That's the one sure way. You know, a guy's taking his meds.
That's funny. Yeah. Whoop. Mm-hmm. Yeah, but I'm not. I mean, I haven't. I'd let it go.
Wait a minute. I think we have her song on there.
Oh, God. What is this?
I like a chick with a small hand. I like a lover with a dwarf palm. Yeah. With hands the size of a hamster.
Yeah, it's freakish.
Take two hands to carry a fucking tennis ball.
Do not get you working in a circus.
Far beside. See if you can wrap around my door, because it's never going to happen.
People all, yes.
Yeah.
It's not a problem now.
We're kidding, of course, yeah.
When you're 8.
You met a man who found them very, very good. That's the key. But when you're 8 years old, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. And I... Well,
did you kick her to the curb?
I want a Jewish bitch with a dwarf hand. I want a chick with some frizzy hair.
I want a ninth grader with a mitten hand.
Like one of those ones that comes on the end of this small arm. Not like a carrot top hand.
How could she not know she was evil? How could she not
understand?
Know?
When it comes to Teresa, I want a dwarf hand.
Just saying the same thing. He doesn't know. They don't know.
Teresa and her small hand? I just thought she had huge wrists. I didn't do that, man.
Wow.
You never went that far.
Yeah, wow. Never got that far with it. That's fine.
Yeah.
What do you got to do with your hands? You don't have to do anything with your
hands. Well, I can't reach an octave or play guitar, but I'm above average height, so it's extra. Yeah. Look,
have you tried the flute?
No, I should have.
Holes are close
together.
Yeah, it's more piccolo.
The point is, these people find you from your past.
Small hands.
They were relentless. But the thing was,
I feel like there's so many things I'd get to
before
your hands.
That. That'd be last. Yeah. Well, Adam, imagine all the
laundry list.
Imagine the shit they'd already gone through by the time they got to small hands.
Yeah,
right?
Really
that
working.
Was just their closer.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
But they were all 2 years older because I was like, I'd skipped grades. And, but they shouldn't do that because you're socially not ready to
you
be.
You skipped
promoted.
Grades? Oh, that's super smart.
Yeah, but then I went back.
They did that with me. That was bad.
It's bad because you can't relate to your peers except through the majesty of song.
Athletically, I gained like 40 pounds out of high school, first year out of high school and freshman in college. I'm like, I could have had that in high school.
Right.
Then I could have, but you know.
It's better to be the oldest.
Yes, exactly.
No, it's seriously, everyone makes a big deal of it and about it. Like my buddy Ray, he's a behemoth anyway, but he was a year older. He got held back a grade, and you know what? He's got the greatest excuse ever. Just say he went to Germany when he was a kid. Like when his family moved back to Germany for a year. It's better than I was a fucking moron, and they held me back a grade. Which was the case. But the point is he started on varsity his 10th grade year.
Right.
His first year was just 3 years back then. And me and Chris, his two buddies, we started on varsity our 11th grade year, which would have been, we're the same age when he started. It's just, he had the extra 40 pounds. When you're 16, 17, 15, 16, as a guy, I went from like 145, 150 in the 10th grade to 185, 190 to 210 my senior year. If I'd start, I would have been all city if I'd fucking, my stupid parents had held me back a couple of grades. They just fucking homeschooled
Germany.
They took me to Germany.
Yeah, the effect is so pronounced, and I won't bore you, but if you read the book Outliers, Malcolm Gladwell talks about it, almost everyone in the NHL was born in January or February. Because you start playing hockey when you're 6, but you're 9-10 months older than the other kids. That's a huge deal. And then you get on the all-star team, and then you get more coaching. By the time you're 7, 8, 9, you're the chasm in talent and experience is
well.
Grown.
That's why I don't understand it. Where the kid is, you know, there's a little Asian kid and he's 13. He's attending UCLA and he's in grad school, and it's like so what if academically he's at that? Emotionally, he's not there. And there's such a fucking huge difference between a 13-year-old and a 19-year-old.
And they're making fun of his small hands. They're all laughing at his little tiny hands.
He doesn't know how to interact normally.
Freshman bedwetting.
Yeah. I think they... With dwarf hands. I'm on a Jewess with a micro pump.
You get charged us for manicures.
I know.
Yeah.
I honestly have to, when I buy gloves, I buy the kid size.
Yeah. She goes in and get a manicure. She's like, I want a cuticle push. She's like, I now see no cuticles, Shrimpan. Hey, why don't you reach in a fingernail polish thing, see if you can pull out dignity.
She makes fun of her? What a horrible way to get business.
Just saying. Like, you never get locked out of your house. You just go right through the keyhole, reach in, unlock the knob. There's some advantages
to it. I'm not kidding. I do end up, like, if something falls behind the couch, I can
Teresa's
get it.
Going to get it.
My little grabbers. My 9-month-old baby's hands are virtually the same.
I'll bring over a whole bunch of vitamins and aspirin just so she can get the cotton out of it.
Yeah, no, I can.
Once a month, I bring home like a big tray of multivitamins and
virtually
aspirin
tweezers. Things. Your thumb and your forethinker are tweezers for
that. Oh, yeah. She'll take a shard.
I never
out of you.
Thought there'd be a second song about my small hands. I really thought
that was
how
the same
many.
Song.
Yeah. I can't remember what theirs was to the tune of.
That was a Pointer Sister, by the way. I don't know, yeah. They probably did it for like Bad Leroy Brown or something that was popular back in San Francisco.
Now we run out of time for
Is there a Clapton song called Slow Hand?
Yeah.
That was his nickname.
That is. Yeah.
But that was ironic. Mm-hmm. They weren't being ironic about my hands. They were
all right,
freakish.
Let's do, because I promised a Wheeze we'd get out of here on time, something to do with quality or something like that in the sound. Let's give some quick plugs. Rich and Jordan, you guys can come back anytime you like.
Thanks for having us.
Yeah,
Thank you. It's our pleasure. It's an unbelievably great place.
It's fun, isn't it?
I love it. Garage, man.
I Am Comic is the name of the movie. It is, I'll tell you what, it's you can get it on demand. You can go to you can Twitter and find out when, where, when, and how much.
Everything else. Facebook.
So she just go, or you can go to www.iamacomicmovie.com and find out. So it's if you like a documentary and you like comedy, this is good. Right?
We're not going to call it a documentary.
Oh, you're not.
Apparently, that sucks.
People don't.
So now we're calling it an ode to.
Documentaries?
Stand-up comedy.
We're calling it doc comedy.
Doc comedy. Love that Michael J. Fox movie. Rich Shiner, Jordan Brady, thank you very much for coming in.
Yeah.
And that clip from 2010, Rich Shiner and Jordan Brady. Now, let's get going with our final clip of the day. This is a Rotten Tomatoes game, and this won't be tricky because it's based off of Rob Schneider movies.
They can fool you. It's Adam Carolla Show 2173 featuring Raven, not in this portion, although I wish it was The Crow, Gina Grad and Brian Bishop, October of 2017. Check it out.
Let's do a quick game of Rotten Tomatoes, shall we?
Listen to that noise! It's a high falsetto voice that can only mean one thing, and you can feel it.
Gotham names are flicks, and the gang makes their picks, guessing if it's rotten or fresh.
If they guess it exactly, we'll get a bonus 5.
It's the Rotten Tomatoes game. You know how we do it. Give me the Rotten Tomatoes game. Now it's time to play.
All right, so Rob Schneider, the subject today.
All right.
He's in a movie with Catherine McPhee. Did you know that?
No, from American Idol.
Little movie that's a charming tale of adventurous hijinks and budding romance. From 2012, it's called You May Not Kiss the Bride.
Oh.
Hmm.
Is this a film?
Did not,
If it is,
feel like they came up with it before, they came up with the title before they came up with the movie. And Kat McPhee, all right.
Kathy Bates is in this.
Kathy Bates is pretty much gone
sort of gun for hire at this point. I feel like she just popped up. I was watching a Tyler Perry movie the other day, and she just popped up in the middle of it. I she's kind of going the what's his name with the big glasses, the Englishman. Can screw his name up in every third movie. Had a run.
I'm gonna need more.
Donald. I'm screwing his name up. Englishman, huge glasses, every single movie ever made.
Rowan Atkinson?
Older. Michael Caine, yes.
Oh, there you go. Yeah. Huge glasses.
I see that coming.
In every movie ever made.
Yep. He's available.
At a certain point, it just went, I'm in. Like, I act, I get paid, I go home.
Yeah.
I think Kathy Bates is down with that. All right. You may not kiss the bride. What do you think? I'm going to go, I haven't heard of it. Comedies are tough. Romantic comedies are tougher. And who's the lead in this?
Who's the fella?
Cute guy.
Dave Annabelle, maybe.
Right. Oh. Okay.
Yeah, Rob Schneider does not look like the lead in this. He is the gentleman, the drifter in the corner of the poster.
He's a comic relief.
I'm going to say 27.
12.
I also said 12.
Okay. Wow.
And you are also wrong. You may not kiss the bride as rotten. Big fat zero.
Wow. Again, if I'm talking to the producers, I'm telling them this is every bit as difficult as 100%, maybe more.
It would be spectacular if every movie was zero.
If this is game. If I'm going Mr. Brightside with the producers, which you did, is almost unachievable.
Yeah.
I have a special needs son who could not make a movie at zero.
I wonder how many movies are zero, like released movies, not straight to video, versus theatrical movies that are 100 every year. I bet there's more than 100.
It's all going to be part of my argument when I have lunch with the producers. All right.
You think we're going to get fresh?
What do you mean?
In general, in this game?
I'm thinking maybe they're all zero, which would be spectacular.
All right.
Okay, next up. Great, fantastic role for Rob Schneider. Plays a professional fish tank cleaner who turns into a gigolo. The first one, Deuce Bigalow, male gigolo from 1999.
Good. Now, this one was not without its charm. I feel that the second one of the worst movies ever made, but this one not without its charm. And the people, second trouble, first one, let's see. I'm going to say they kind of liked it. It was a romp. Is it fresh? If it's fresh, it starts with a 6. Not fresh, but not in the 20s. 54.
Whoa.
25.
36.
Deuce Bigalow, male gigolo, is rotten at
23. Oh, look at you.
Mm.
Keep in mind when this came out, like Adam Sandler's career had crested amongst the critics. Like, you know, Billy Madison way down here. Then he kind of got up to The Wedding Singer. People were like, oh, I'm on board. And then he's back down with like Big Daddy and stuff like that.
By the way, Billy Madison, possibly my favorite Adam Sandler movie.
It's fun.
It's great.
It's irreverent.
That and Punch Drunk Love.
Nah, Punch Drunk Love. Don't get me started.
Wasn't it nice to see him not making the sound?
The movie had no script. There was zero script. Zero.
All right.
But it was nice him not talking.
Making the music.
That was great.
Yeah. Okay.
But we could just film them when he's sleeping one night, and we'd have the same effect. And we wouldn't have to be dragged to a movie. All right. Could not take that script. Or what script? I don't think there was a script.
Yeah.
Was there a script?
I own that movie.
It was just a nanny cam.
I love that movie.
I hate it. Mm-hmm. All right.
Next up, I'm just going to read the subscription because it's awesome.
All right. I would Punch Drunk Love is one of those movies, even though it starred Adam Sandler, I think the critics would have it higher than the people. That would be one of those movies for me.
That's a very, very good guess. I bet that's right.
All right. Sorry. Go ahead, Dawson.
As Gonzo and his friend Rizzo hit the road in search of their roots, Gonzo makes a shocking discovery. His parents are actually space aliens. From another galaxy.
What?
Yeah. Ray Liotta's in this movie. Also Jeffrey Tambor. Schneider. Rob Schneider plays the producer in 1999's Muppets from Space.
Oh, that Gonzo.
Muppets from Space.
That was kind of close. I'll take that.
Yeah. Muppets from Space. Everyone loves Muppet movies, yeah, right?
Sure, but I do not recall this. I have no recollection of this title.
That was funny. I was watching Everything Is... Oh, maybe. I don't know if everything's political, but I was watching HBO the other night, and they had a Muppet pop up, and then it was like, oh, God. I'm trying to think of the black actress that was standing with the Muppet. But
Viola Davis.
Yeah, I think it was Viola Davis. Well, let's just say it was. That's stupid. It's Viola Davis. Anyway, staying next to the Muppet, and I just sat there and I went, "How's this? This is going to be political, but how? Mm-hmm. How? Like, there's some state. It's not going to be 3 + 7 = 10. Yeah. It's going to be some sort of comment on the gay rights or society or something." But I remember just sort of thinking there, going, How is this going to be? Because it has to be. Mm-hmm. Like, for some reason, I don't know what happened with the Muppets, but there's some statement. There's some Muppets pulling up in a wheelchair, and they're going to talk about not making fun of that Muppet.
Like, the ADA.
Whatever it is, there's something. And I just was sitting there, and Viola Davis in there, and she goes, we're going to play a game with words. And I was like, okay, but how's this going to be? How's it going to be? Sort of political.
Today's word is gentrification.
Yes. And I remember just sort of sitting there watching. And then she said, today's word is fiesta. And then I went, oh yeah, it's Spanish. Okay. That made it in my world, that made it it's right. Like something Spanish, something bilingual. Right. It had to be something. It can't just be, here's a picture of a hubcap and here's a picture of a pie and they're both round, but one you don't right. eat. You know, it's all the stuff we kind of grew right. up with. Like, we needed something a little more progressive.
Nice word is recidivism.
And I was happy about that.
Okay.
Okay, sorry.
Muppets.
Where were
you? Muppets. From space.
Muppets from space. I'm going to say this. So this is as far away from Rob as you can get, because Rob's just doing the voice of a Muppet.
I'm guessing he probably played a human. Because Muppets interact with humans, keep in mind.
Oh, sorry. Okay.
That's
but still, this one's not being carried by Rob.
No,
he didn't write it. So, and people love the Muppet movies, and I think they love them. Even then some. I'm going to say, I never saw it, 86.
Whoa.
This is your Waterloo. The Muppet franchise was dead in the water. It had been killed until they revived it a few years ago with the Muppet movies with Jason Segel, right?
Oh, is that him?
Is that what happened?
Yeah. Yep. I'm actually shocked. Was this released theatrically? I'm actually shocked it came out in theaters.
I'm like 70 points behind already.
You're 70
so
points off
matter.
On this
Go
one. This is 28, and I'll bet I'm double the score.
Yeah, I was being really kind because it's Muppets, but I do not remember this. Yeah, he played a human. I said 49.
Watch me be dead wrong.
Muppets from Space is fresh. At 63%.
Wow. Well, I'm still pretty far off.
That
but.
Was helpful, though.
Hold on. Yeah, but still.
It's fresh. I think I just feel like the critics have a real soft spot for the whole Muppet
you
franchise.
You might be right, obviously.
63. Holy all right.
Moly.
Barely fresh.
But this killed the franchise.
Well, now, boo, I'm still way off. Here we go.
Are you in the trips, right. you think, already?
Could be.
Maybe a decade or two, Adam Sandler wrote a song called The Hanukkah Song.
Mm-hmm.
And very much in the spirit of made-up movie. He took a line from that song and made a movie out of it. 2002, the movie is called 8 Crazy Nights. Rob Schneider plays a Chinese waiter.
It's an animated film, right?
Yeah. It's a Christmas animated movie.
Well, it's not a Christmas movie.
Oh, Hanukkah. It's not? I mean, a Hanukkah. I mean, a holiday animated movie. I'm looking at Christmas lights and the deer and everything else, but
the
yeah.
War on Christmas.
Did you see the tiny menorah in the background?
I don't think people loved it, but I think they probably liked it more than your standard, you know, Adam Sandler Schneider movie, which could be in the, you know, low teens, single digits. I will say, let's give it 44.
I never saw it. I don't believe in supporting Jewish propaganda, but I do remember people saying, not that bad. Not that bad. So I'm going to say 65.
I said 55.
Eight Crazy Nights is rotten. 12.
Oh, my God.
Wow.
Wow.
This could have gotten me back into this ball game.
What did you guess?
I went 44, which is not too far for you guys, but we're way off.
We are.
But I've been closer the last couple. I might be creeping back here.
They say it's a nauseating concoction of what? Of potty humor and product placement.
In a cartoon?
That's wild. All right, last one. It's anyone's game.
It really is.
I have no idea, and we should all be ashamed.
No, right. Yes, you should. Another Adam Sandler movie is up next. Rob Schneider plays a food delivery man in a movie that the only thing I can remember about this is the guy is trying to get the baby mama to answer the door by singing, God, you can help me with a song that I want to kiss you all over.
Yeah, Climax. Over.
Yes, Climax Blues Band. Oh, what's the name of the song?
Till the night closes in.
Yes.
Yeah, it's a horrible song.
There we go. The movie is from 1999. It's Big Daddy.
What are you talking about?
This is when people remember, I think it's when Jon Stewart was like starting to make his move. Like, hey, this guy's going to be a movie star. He's going to start off by playing the buddy.
He was in the Faculty.
Good looking young guy. We're going to start him off with these roles as like kind of the buddy or the second teacher or something. And then he's going to quickly build him up to leading man status. Mm-hmm. And I remember Baby Doll just kind of going, oh, it sucked. And like, go make your hay somewhere else. All right. This is bad, but it's supposed to be sweet.
I think it fools a lot of people, too. I have arguments with people all the time about, oh, that's a good movie. No, it's not. No, it's not.
Yeah. All right. Critics have had it with Sandler at this point, but is
it 1999?
This is only what?
1999.
This could be 6. Or because of the cuteness factor with the kid, it could be a 40. Mm-hmm. I'm going to go 19.
I went the other way. I said 50.
I said 39.
50 for me, Gary. 50.
Big Daddy is rotten at 40.
Oh, damn it.
Gina, you're off by one?
Gina
might have snuck in the lead on this.
Oh, 40 man.
Would have been good, though.
That was it for me. Damn, it's the kid. The damn kid.
Not a good film.
All right. I do want to say before we announce the scores that we've already established that the loser is Rob Schneider. Adam Carolla, you're on the podium in third place. Congratulations.
Yeah,
with the score
podium finish.
134.
Oh,
why?
That leaves Brian and Gina.
I think Gina took this.
Gina, I am sorry. For bald Brian.
Aww.
He got a score of 112. You beat him. 83. Congratulations.
Wow. I will take that win.
All right. I'll tell you about... you got an outro?
It's the Rotten Tomatoes game. You know how we do it.
Clear victory.
And that was a Rob Schneider themed round of the Rotten Tomatoes game from October of 2017. And that'll do it for Cruella Classics. Before we get out of here, I want to remind everybody about Geico. Because if you own or rent, then, of course, it's hard work to do that. But let's make it easy by bundling those policies with Geico. Geico makes it easy to bundle your homeowners or renters insurance along with your auto policy. And it's a good thing because you already got so much going on already. So this is what you do. You head over to geico.com, get a quote, and see how much you could save. How easy is that?
It's Geico easy.
That's right. Visit Geico.com today. That's Geico.com. All right. The Adam Carolla Show returns tomorrow, so make sure to tune in. And then Gio and I will take you all next weekend and all of next week because it's Dark Week and Adam will be racing in Monterey. So a lot of classic clips heading your way.
So many clips.
Make sure to tune in and we'll see you there. My name is Chris Loxamana and that is Superfan Giovanni.
Mahalo and get it on.
Save
big money on your entire roofing project now at Menards. Protect your home for years to come with Owens Corning Architectural Shingles. They offer long-lasting performance while providing ultimate protection with a 130 miles per hour wind rating and limited lifetime warranty. Choose from over 50 options of Owens Corning shingles in-store and on Menards.com. And check out more of our great deals going on now.
Save